I'm so glad you came back tonight after this morning. And I brought my watch. I am so sorry if your lunch got cold today or burnt, whichever the case may be. One thing I have in my 50 plus years of preaching, one thing that annoys me greatly is long-winded preachers. I just don't read that anywhere that it's scriptural. And I'll be if I didn't turn into one this morning. So tonight we'll keep it short and simple. Y'all did a wonderful job. Thank you. That's my warm-up group. I believe you could preach tonight, Pastor, after that. I was watching the news this week, as you have been, and that horrible situation we had with all of the rain last week, and that precious lady, Kirkendall, I think was her name, whose home was washed away. You remember seeing that? And she was in the home, and they couldn't find her. And all week long, they had people out looking for her. And it was called, I heard them say this several times, it's called search and rescue. When they think someone is still alive, they're looking for them to rescue them. And then after all of this week and them not finding her, I heard one of those men change, one of those individuals, rescue people, change it, and said, it is now search and recover. And this morning, or yesterday morning, I don't remember which, they found her. And she was gone. She had drowned when her house washed away. Well, I want to talk to you tonight very briefly. I wore myself out this morning. On that little thought, search and recover. Recover, according to the dictionary, means to get back something that has been lost, or something that has been taken or stolen, to return to health or a normal condition, or to get back one's senses. I didn't leave you out, Kelby. We're praying for a search and recover, buddy. Would you turn to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30? I know I preached from 1 Samuel this morning, but I'm preaching from 1 Samuel again tonight. Chapter 30, I want you to look at verse number 7 and 8 with me. Sorry, Lisa, that I didn't get that to you sooner. I appreciate them so much. They do such a wonderful job up there. Preachers are hard to keep up with because most of the time we don't have a clue what we're going to say. And so they just have to kind of guess at it and do a wonderful job. All right, let's read it. Number 7. And David said to Abiathar the priest, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. These words. And David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue. For thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Hallelujah. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you, Lord, that we find our strength in your word and our help in your word. Lord, would you just bless this people tonight? God, guard their hearts against anything that I would say that would not be right or not be appropriate, God. Help us to know and say only those things that will exalt the wonderful name of Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Have a seat. Have there ever been times when you felt like you were losing ground in your walk with the Lord? Or maybe I should say it this way. How many times have you felt like you were losing ground in your walk with the Lord? You just don't feel spiritual. You ever felt that way? You ever gotten up, Cammie, and just, today I just don't feel very spiritual. Look out, Chris. Oh, Chris does all the time. We all go through those times, Pastor, when regardless of what we've done, regardless of how we prayed, regardless of how much we're reading, regardless of how much we shouted at church, regardless of the word that we've even heard preached, there are times when we just don't feel like we're doing very good spiritually. I mean, we're doing the best that we can do, but we're still getting beat. You played the best that you can play, but it's not good enough. Sometimes in sports, when they talk to a coach or a manager after the game, he will say, "My team played better than they've ever played before. They did the best they've ever done, and they still lost the game." Sometimes we get wounded. Sometimes we get discouraged. Now, I know some of you, you know, you got your wings tucked under so we can't see them. But most of us normal people have days that we just don't feel very spiritual. I mean, it's just not a good day for the boss to say something that I'm not ready to hear. It's just not a good day for the wife to burn breakfast. If you get breakfast. Some days we just can't help it. We get disappointed. And if you're like me, believe it or not, sometimes I just get a little angry. You honestly don't know if you're going to win this thing or not. Let me tell you the truth about me, because I know me. I'm not the happy-go-lucky, smiling all the time guy that you see most of the time. When you see me, I have on my happy face. But when I'm alone, sometimes I cry. There's sometimes that the hurt just won't stop. There's sometimes that I can't make a bit of sense out of what God's trying to do in my life. Sometimes, Pastor, and I know you can relate to this, we're doing the very best that we know how to do, and people still complain. Truth is, I think Jason Crabb's daddy wrote a song called that, "Sometimes I Cry." See, I don't like to admit that, Teresa, because I like to project this tough guy image, this macho guy, when in reality I'm just a big old sissy. I'm a mama's boy. But sometimes I face things that I don't handle very well, and sometimes when I'm in my prayer time with God, I will actually tell God, I don't think I can do this anymore. Lord, I just don't think I can handle that anymore. I just don't even want to anymore, Sister Pastor. So how can I recover all? What is God thinking here? You know, I'm happy if I can get something, anything to work out. And yet God is telling me that I can recover all of it. I want to read to you from the book of Romans, chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 33. Now, she's going to put up there the King James Version, because that's the only Bible our computer has, evidently. But I'm going to read it to you from the Message Bible. Same message. It just makes it a little bit easier for a small, low IQ person like me to understand. So what do you think? With God on our side like this, how can we lose? If God didn't hesitate to put everything on the line for us, embracing our condition and exposing himself to the worst by sending his own son, is there anything else he wouldn't gladly and freely do for us? And who would dare tangle with God by messing with one of God's chosen? Who would dare even point a finger? The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, sticking up for us. Do you think anyone is going to be able to drive a wedge between us and Christ's love for us? There is no way. Oh, that sounds good. And I love that. But sometimes, Brother Ronnie, I just don't feel that. In the book of Deuteronomy, does that say that right? I have a hard time with that word. Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Here's what it, and I'm not going to read all of that to you. Let me just hit some highlights here, because I want you to understand what's been given to us, what we have. Bible says that all the blessings of Abraham belong to us. So what were some of those blessings? And you've heard this. Pastor has preached this, I'm sure. But just to highlight a couple of things, he said, God will place us on high above all the nations of the world. Talking about us, talking about Israel. It used to be America. I'm not so sure anymore. All these blessings will come down on you because you have responded to the voice of God. God's blessing you in the city and in the country. Bless your children. Bless your crops. Bless your livestock. Bless your basket. Bless your bread bowl. Blessings when you come in and blessings when you go out. God will defeat your enemies. God will bless your barns. God will bless your workplace. God will bless your children. God will bless your animals. God will bless your land. God will throw open the doors of heaven and pour rain upon your land on schedule and bless the work of your hands. God will make you the head and not the tail. Don't swerve an inch to the right or the left from the words that I command you today by going off and worshiping other God. Those are the things that God has given us as His children. But I want you to understand that Satan has stolen those things from us, and we've lost some of those things, and we're going to recover those things tonight. They belong to us. Even twin calves, Rodney. Somebody stole that man's calves out of his corral. They ought to hang them. It's what they used to do. Didn't have near as much trouble as we do now. Let's look at this quickly. Am I doing okay, Kelby? In the 8th verse, again, first thing is he said you're going to recover all. David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after the troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. Let me tell you tonight, whatever you've lost, whatever the devil's stolen from you, God's going to help you recover some of it. Anybody catch that? All of it. How much is that? How much is all? Mr. Webster says everything. Means everything. I'm telling you, if the devil has stolen your health, if he has stolen your finances, if he has stolen your peace, if he's taken away your song, if you've lost your joy, if he stole your mind or your love or your reputation or your character or your senses, God said we're going to recover it all. Oh, that list is endless. But whatever you lost, I wish I could preach so you'd understand what I'm trying to say tonight. Whatever means anything, no matter what, no matter who, you have to believe that regardless of how bad it gets, we belong to God. How many of you have ever had your child ask you for something that they needed, not that they just wanted, because all of our children have asked us for things that they want, but they've asked us for things that we've needed, and you as a parent that loves that child would do everything you possibly could do to make sure that they got what they needed. Then how much more? How much more? So how we do that? How do we recover? Well, what did he tell him? Pursue. Pursue. That's the Hebrew word rada. And it means to run after or to hunt down with hostile intent. Unfriendly. We have to come to an understanding that we're not playing games with the devil. You have to let the devil know you mean business. He has to understand that you're not afraid of him and that you have the power in the name of Jesus to overcome him. Now, if you just dilly-dally with him, sidebar. I never could understand when I was growing up in the Pentecostal churches, before I knew, I grew up in the Baptist church, but I started going to a Pentecostal church when I was 16. I never could understand that in our services, always, about half the teenagers were possessed of the devil, or they told us we were. And that they would get us up there, lay us out, and y'all remember those days, buddy. If God didn't give it to you, some of the sisters would. They'd slap you into next week. I didn't have to shave till I was in college because they kept my beard slapped off of me. But I've never been able to understand when they would have one of us down praying the devil out of us. Well, they'd carry on a 30-minute conversation with the devil. You ever heard somebody doing that when you're praying for somebody to get delivered? And they're talking to the devil? What do you want to do that for? That's not what the Bible teaches us. You take authority over him. and set those people free. You don't fool around with him. He'll talk to you all night if you'll listen to him. You got to go after what belongs to you. David said to his men, let's go get our stuff back. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 17 through 19 says this. I'm reading this one from the New Living Translation. David and his men rushed in among them and slaughtered them throughout that night and the entire next day until evening. None of the Amalekites escaped except 400 men who fled on camels. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, sons or daughters, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. King James says David recovered all. So the first thing for you to do to recover all is to pursue it. It's yours. Act like you want it back. Then look at this. He got his family back. Verse 18 and 19 again said he got his wives back. He got his kids back. He got everything back. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 16 and 17 says this, refrain your voices from weeping and your eyes from tears, for your work shall be rewarded, says the Lord. And they, talking about your kids, they shall come back from the land of the enemy. There is hope in your future, says the Lord, that your children shall come back to their own border. That's powerful. That ought to encourage every mama and daddy in here. If you've got one that's wandering. Before he was born, his mama prayed that he would be a preacher. And when the day came of his birth, it ended in sorrow because mama died from complications during delivery. But her dying words were recorded, and they were this, Lord, let my baby be a preacher. But when he grew up, he didn't become a preacher. He became an alcoholic. Family members were glad that mama died at birth, so she didn't see what baby had become. He spent 6 months in a St. Louis jail for forgery. He spent 2 terms as a Kansas legislator before he was dismissed on corruption charges. Long story short, Cyrus Ingersoll gave his life to the Lord and became a powerful preacher of the Word. Now, you probably don't know him as Cyrus Ingersoll. You probably know him as C.I. He went by his initials, C.I. Scofield. The most requested reference Bible in the world today. You pray for your family to come back to God. They have caused your hair to turn prematurely gray from worry. Your cheeks are furrowed from an endless flow of tears. Your pillow is soaked from sleepless nights. Your heart is broken from the constant rejection. But God is faithful to His Word. And God said in verse 16, they shall come back. Tell your neighbor, they're coming back. They're coming back. Verse 17 says, there is hope in your future. What does Jeremiah 29:11 tell us? We've all got this memorized or plastered on our refrigerator somewhere. For I know of the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans of peace and not evil. To give you a future and hope. Not one of your family members was born to be lost. But born to be saved through the shed blood of Calvary's crucified Lamb. They're coming back. You will recover all. That's what God said. You believe God? I already told you what I think about the Word. I talked to you that this morning. I believe what God says. Isaiah 55 and 11 says this, "So shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it." Last thing. The treasure may be hidden. You got to pursue. You're going to recover all. And your family's coming back. And then lastly, the treasure may be hidden. Isaiah 45, 1 through 3 says this. "This is what the Lord says to His anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I take hold of to subdue nations before him and to strip kings of their armor, to open doors before him so that gates will not be shut. I will go before you and will level the mountains. I will break down gates of bronze and cut through bars of iron. I will give you treasures of darkness, riches stored in secret places, so that you may know that I am the Lord, the God of Israel, who summons you by name." Many times when I'm praying and I don't know what's going on, and I'm talking to the Lord about the situation that I'm in, I know that I'm telling God, "I just want out of this. I just want this to be over. I just want to have victory again." And God says, "Well, let's wait a minute." He ever told you that? "Let's don't get in a hurry." "Yeah, well, I'm in a hurry, God." "Yeah, well, He isn't." He said, "There's a treasure buried in this mess. And I want you to find it. And in the middle of the mess, God has something special for you. Because He's not lost track of where you are." I may have told you this, but one of the advantages of being old is you don't remember that you've told things. And preaching to an older congregation is, you don't either. But when I went through that real difficult time 10, 15 years ago now, and I was in the twilight zone for about 3 or 4 months, didn't know who I was, where I was, what I was. I just know I was driving my poor little wife crazy. She was doing everything she could to put up with me, and I wasn't being easy to put up with. I just kind of sat in my chair with my head covered up and rocked most of the time. She wanted to go to Indiana to see her folks. She was needing help, and I wasn't giving it to her. And on the way to Indiana, I'm sitting, she's having to drive, because I was in La La Land, and I'm just looking out the window rocking like this, and she's been talking. My wife loves to talk when we travel. Now, I love to travel and not hear nothing. But she loves to talk every mile. And I hadn't answered her for about 100 miles. And she pulls off the side of the road and tells me, "Just get out." And she said, "If you're going to be crazy, you can be crazy in Indiana just like you are in Arkansas. So suck it up, buttercup. We're going to Indiana." I was so hurt. And I said, "All right, pull in here at this gas station." And we pull into this gas station to get gas. And it was one of them nice technological, that's not a word, is that a word? Anyway, it had that beautiful screen, you know, on the gas pump where they can even put TV out there while you're pumping gas. And all of a sudden, across that screen, goes these words, "But you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." John 8:32. And I look at that, and I shake my head, and I look back at it again, and then it says, "He whom the Son sets free is free indeed." And I run around the other side of the pump where this guy is pumping gas, and I said, "Come here, come here, come here, come here. Look at this." Scared him to death. His didn't say that. His had numbers of gallons and price of gas and all of that stuff. And I said, "Look, come here, look at my..." And he didn't come. He ran. So I went back and I said, shook my head, and I looked at that again, and I said, "I'm off up here somewhere in a foreign land." I think we were in Illinois about that time. And I'm thinking, I don't think God's even in Illinois. But there it was again. And so I take my money and I go inside and I say, "Ma'am, you don't know what I'm going through, but that is the coolest thing, that your screen out there, that you're putting scriptures on your gas pumps." She looked over at her co-worker and she said, "Something wrong." It scared her to death. She said, "Sir, we don't put nothing on those screens except how many gallons you're getting and how much it costs." I said, "Well, you did today. I'm telling you, God knows where you are at all times, even if you're in Illinois and you're about as nutty as a fruitcake like I was. He can find you and put..." That's why it's so important that I preach this morning. You gotta have the Word hid in your heart. I'm quitting. God knows where you are. If you're discouraged, frustrated, if you've lost your song, your joy, if you feel like you're losing ground, if you just need a miracle, if you just want to get closer to God, I'm telling you, God said you're going to recover all, your family's going to come back, and you can find a secret treasure that God has hidden just for you. In closing, did I say that already? That's another thing that irritates me. The preacher say in closing and then does it for 30 more minutes. You know who Dr. Lester Summerall is? Have you ever heard of Dr. Summerall? Awesome, awesome, awesome. He's gone now, but he, awesome. He tells a story. I heard him tell the story. He was preaching a revival somewhere in one of the, this has been many, many years ago, a region of Africa that was still heavy into devil worship. And he was having a great crusade and people were getting saved. The witch doctor got saved. Dr. Summerall says he went back to his room, the little hut thing that they had there for him to sleep in. Just a small little cot thing for him to sleep on. But he said he woke up in the middle of the night and he heard this growling noise. And he opened his eyes and he said he saw it was the devil. And he said, "Oh, I thought it was somebody. It's just you." And he said he turned over and went back to sleep. Well, he said in a few minutes his bed started bouncing. And it bounced all the way across the room. And he said he sat up in the bed. And he said, "I told you to get out of here. Now in the name of Jesus, you better go." And the devil turned and took off. And all of a sudden, Dr. Summerall said, "Wait a minute. You get back over here and put this bed back where you got it." And he said the bed bounced right back over to where it was originally. And then he said, "Now get out and don't come back." And the devil left and he had a tremendous crusade and most of the village accepted Jesus as their personal Savior. That's what I'm telling you tonight. Stand with me if you would. It's time for us to tell him, "You get out of here. And before you leave, you put back everything you took away from me. It's mine in Jesus' name, and I'm going to take it back tonight. Sing a little bit of that. Listen to this.
Well, I went to the enemy camp, and I took back what he stole from me.
Do you want it back?
Took back what he stole from me.
Yeah.
Took back what he stole from me. When I went to the enemy camp, and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet. He's under my feet. Under my feet, under my feet, under my feet, under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Well, I went to the enemy camp, and I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. He's under my feet, he's under my feet, he's under my feet, he's under my feet, well, he's under my feet, under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Well, he's under my feet. Oh, yes, he's under my feet. Yes, he's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Oh, I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. When I went to the enemy camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Well, he's under my feet. Yes, he's under my feet. He's under my feet. Well, he's under my feet. He's under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Yes, he's under my feet. Yes, he's under my feet. took back what he stole from me. Oh, I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Well, he was under my feet. Yes, he was under my feet. Yes, he was under my feet. Under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Oh, I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Well, he's under my feet. Yes, he's under my feet. Yes, he's under my feet. Oh, Satan is under my feet. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Oh, I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Well, he's under my yes, he's under my feet. Yes, he's under my feet. Oh, yes, he's under my feet. Well, yes, he's under my feet. Under my feet. Satan is under my feet. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. I took back what he stole from me. Took back what he stole from me. Well, I went to the enemy's camp, and I took back what he stole from me. Well, he's under my feet. Yes, he's under my feet. Well, he's under my feet. He's under my feet. I could cross the line. I could take back all of what's right in my mind. I'm taking it back. What the devil stole from me, I'm taking it back. Oh, what the devil stole from me, I'm taking it back. Oh, by the blood's authority. Well, Jesus said I could cross the line. I could take back all of what's right in my mind. I'm taking it back. What the devil stole from me, I'm taking it back. Well, what the devil stole from me, I'm taking it back. Oh, by the blood's authority. Well, Jesus said I could cross the line, I could take back all of what's right in mine. I'm taking it back. What the devil stole from me, I'm taking it back. Oh, what the devil stole from me, I'm taking it back. Well, by the blood's authority. Jesus said I could cross the line, I could take back all of what's right in mine. I'm taking it back, what the devil stole from me. I'm taking it back. Said I could cross the line, I could take back all of what's right in mine. I'm taking it back, what the devil stole from me. Oh, have mercy on me, Lord. that the thirsty soul can drink from, and the purity it brings will never stay. Just one drop there is wasted for all who have tasted. Come back to this water every day.
Defense. is here. He is here. Just because you go out those doors don't mean your victory stops before you go. Victory is yours. Tonight, tomorrow, all day long, victory is ours in Jesus Christ. Father God, bless your people. Give us the strength and the courage to fight the good fight of faith, knowing, Lord, when we pursue and we'll gain all for the kingdom of heaven's sake, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Shake hands and be friendly. Hope to see you Wednesday night.